You? I'm shell-shocked for a moment by the question. Well, you're selfish, arrogant. You need a lot of work. But I'm not hopeless, Ian says, raising one brow almost commandingly. No. He exhales, the corner of his lips moving.
Then let's do it, Sarah. Let's have a go at it for real.
I look away, feeling like my composure is under attack. How much do I want this? So much it scares me.
Look at it this way. As a bonus, you get my dick.
A soft laugh leaves me as I gather the courage to glance back into his face, and I notice his features aren't exactly stoic. His expression is taut with passion, a living light shining in his eyes. I don't want to admit that I like him too, and that I am drawn to him, recklessly like a magnet. But he's opening up to me, and no matter how scared I am, I don't want to shut him out.
Look, I know you have reservations, but my divorce will come through very soon, and I want you to think about it not being so casual anymore.
It's not casual for me, I admit. It hasn't been for a while. But I don't want you to hurt me, you stupid, yummy motherfucker. I groan.
Good. Then it's not casual. And come on, Sarah.
He laughs a low, sardonic laugh, tutting at me.
We both know that's not what I want with you.
Fuck this guy. I want this and I want him, and I reach out to grab the back of his neck and plant a solid, wet kiss on him so that he knows it. That night, on our way back to his home, I feel a little tipsy, and know Ian has had his fair share to drink, too. I feel like I'll die if I don't have him, and I'm desperately trying to shake my fears out of my mind. Maybe it's too soon to get involved with a man whose marriage just shattered. Sex is sex, but this isn't just sex here, is it? He leads me into his home and up to the bedroom, addressing the elephant in the room.
You know that if I had a production company, I'd hire you on the spot.
And I'd dance exclusively for you. I smile and kick my heels off, the move making me dizzy. Then again, right now, I'd dance in a corner for free. Ian unbuttons and shrugs off his shirt, his muscles hard as he tosses it aside.
I've been thinking, and I don't want you to miss this opportunity.
Surprised, I unzip and start undressing down to my underwear. I don't want to miss it either, but I've been thinking too, and... Ian raises his brows. I sway on my feet, laughing when I almost fall.
Would you care who you work for? Whether it's someone you loved or hated? Would you care when you want it this much?
No, but...
But what?
My stomach clutches in fear of my own feelings for this guy, so I press my lips together and playfully send my panties flying in his direction. I want you more, you stupid suit.
Stupid suit.
He catches them in the air, looks at them, then straightens, narrowing his eyes as he walks forward, smelling my panties.
Stupid suit, he says,
and I giggle, and he's back as my hot suit walks forward, shoving my panties into his slacks pocket. The way he's looking at me decimates me. I start to pant, unsteady on my feet as I back away. I think I've had too much to drink. We both have. And it's been a crazy day. Ian is walking forward, and I'm backing away. My mogul starts to shake his head in warning.
Don't push me away, dancer.
I'm not, I say, but I start rounding the room to keep him from hitting a wall. Ian continues chasing me, his gaze narrowing, a slight confusion in his dark eyes. I'm feeling raw and exposed, so vulnerable I want to hit him for doing this to me.
You're not the only one who's scared, Sarah. I'm a man who's used to getting whatever I want. Women throw themselves at my feet. But reconcile that with being cheated on the infidelity spectrum?
He reaches out, seizes my arm.
I didn't know what we had between us from that first night, and I wasn't sure I wanted it, Sarah.
I stand there, absorbing what he's just said, too afraid to believe in this. In this being able to happen to me, to him. Too afraid now that I know he's been fighting his own feelings for me just like, maybe, I have for him. And suddenly, all my feelings for him boil in my heart, to the point where I feel like I have two choices, implode inward or explode outward. I exhale shakily, my voice raw. I'm afraid nothing lasts. Nothing, not even life. I'm afraid of attachment and loss and love, and even loss of a love such as dancing. The things that can make me happy will one day be gone. And see, you're not even guaranteed. I don't even know if you'll really want to commit once you're free. You're not even free yet. Maybe you'll never be. You're not even mine, Ford. What if by the time you're free, you're waffling?
I'm not waffling.
You just said you didn't want to want this. He sets his forehead on mine.
But I'm yours.
A low growl. That's not true. At the club, you said you wanted it to be serious, and then you come here and admit you didn't want this. Admit it, Ian. You're using me to feel better about yourself, and when you're free of your wife, you'll be done with me. I cry suddenly, all my fears rising to the forefront.
I'm not unsure about this. Damn it,
he growls, his gaze shooting bullets at me. I'm going home. I reach for my clothes on the floor. Don't you dare stop me. Don't you dare. He grabs me and pulls me up to my feet, then yanks me to his hard chest. I start to fight him. Far stronger than I am, and just as exasperated with us, Ian grabs my hand, curling his palm around my fist to halt me.
You're scared, Sarah, and that's all right. But don't think for a second I'm not scared, too. I don't mean to hurt you. I'm not letting you go, and I am not fucking leaving, but I'm fucking open here, and it doesn't feel very good.
See? You're scared.
You're fucking right, I'm scared. I'm fucking in love with you. If I used to feel anything for my ex-wife, it pales in comparison to what I feel for you. Do you get me, Sarah?
He shakes me, his iron control suddenly snapping.
Do you, baby?
My eyes sting as a raw and primitive reaction to his words takes over me, and I nod. We both fall still. Suddenly, I wind my arms around his neck and press my face to his, my eyes blurry as I press my nose into his throat. My dad loved my mom, I painfully remind him.
I'm not your dad.
I swallow. I'm not your wife, either. You need to trust me. You need to.
I do. Just be patient with me, Dancer.
Radiating frustration, he grabs my face in both hands and tips my gaze up to his eyes roving painfully slowly over my features.
I may fuck up sometimes. And one day I may not be there on an important day, but I'll try. And if I sometimes don't have the right words, help me find them. And if you need something I'm not delivering, steer me in the right direction. Please,
he hisses.
Please.
I will, I breathe, my hands clamping on his hard jaw. Love me. I love you like I never thought I could love anyone.
I do. Fuck, woman, I do.
He lifts me up in his arms and we're kissing passionately, both a little drunk, a little too unhinged, a little too open. When Ian drops me on the bed, I claw at his slacks, needing his touch, his skin, his love. Hard, I beg as he drops his slacks and boxers and kicks them aside. As hard as possible, and don't stop until morning. Ian's tongue drags down my throat and cleavage, as he spreads my thighs open, grabs his cock and drives in so hard I see stars. I claw at his back, bite his neck. Ian drags his hands up my sides, cupping my breasts in his warm palms, then curling a hand around my neck as he ducks to suck on my nipples. His hand stays on my throat, and suddenly he lifts his head.
Look at me. Look at me, damn you.
I look at him, my pulse fluttering against his palm. I'm so undone by this guy that I wonder if I'll ever be complete without him. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. I hit his chest, my eyes wet with tears. He gentles the pace, gentles his voice.
I'm too busy fucking you. Huh? Who's fucking you?
You, motherfuck. He kisses me, wipes a tear from my cheek, his face raw.
I wanted here. All fucking day, I wanted here.
I stroke my fingers down his jaw, gasping and thrashing as I moan. I want you here, Ian. Always.
You do shit to me. I don't like it either, but it's there. It's here.
He drops a hot kiss to my left breast, licking his way back to my mouth.
It's everywhere, all the damn time, Sarah. You got me twisted up and I'm in so deep, I'm not planning to do anything about it but go deeper, baby.
I groan softly as he licks his tongue into my mouth. He rolls his hips harder, over and over, faster and faster, the tempo of our kiss increasing in synchrony with his thrusts, my own hips pushing up to meet his. It's a dance, and as much as I love dancing, I've never loved anything as much as I love doing this with him. Every part of my body is alive and moving, straining, searching for Ian, reaching for Ian, and more Ian. Ian's movements stimulate mine, just like my touches and kisses stimulate his. I've seen dancers move on stage, but I've never felt a man move so beautifully, or dance this dance, or any other dance so fiercely with me before. We're the song and the dance, the tune and the variation, the violin and the player, the ache and the balm that heals it. Ian's own wild hunger somehow makes this dance of ours even rawer, more primitive. A dance you can only dance in the dark, or by yourself, or with your mate, so raw and primal that you don't need lessons, you just move and follow the ache. Feed the ache. And nothing aches as much as my need for this guy. I push him back and go down on him. He lets me, for a minute, two. Then he rolls me back around and goes down on me like I'm his last supper. I let him, briefly. Then I pull him up by the hair and straddle and ride him. He lets me, but still needs more, so he rolls me to my back and bends my legs around his shoulders, and when he drives back in, I contort with pleasure and let out a long mewl of pleasure over being filled like this. Just like this. All the time he watches me. All the time I ache, need, want, dance, hum in silent pleasure. His voice is husky and thick when he tells me I make him hot, and that he's never been so fucking happy or wanted anyone or anything as much as he wants me. I tell him how hot he looks and how I never want to be without him. When he rubs his thumb against my clit and continues pummeling me, watching my breasts bounce and my chest heave, I come. I come in colors, songs, movements, fabrics. I come in all ways and at the same time in no other way but this one. I come for him and because of him, and as if he knows this, yet isn't satisfied in my complete undoing, nor in taking me every which way possible, Ian pulls out and takes his cock in his hand, pumping his fist down his hard length as he climaxes with a deep groan and eyes of twilight watching me. Watching me as he rains his semen all over my abdomen. Gasping as the warm drops touch my skin, I pant and watch his muscles ripple, his eyes flash on me, his jaw clench. I lick my lips, drinking him in, weepy, drunk, scared, in love, undone like only my hot suit makes me. But I know as he's finished and pulls me roughly, almost violently to him, that whatever he makes me feel, I'm not alone in this. Minutes later, I can feel his uneven breathing on my cheek as he holds me to him, the touch of his hand almost unbearable in his tender possessiveness.
Ian, did you mean what you said? I whisper, tipping my face. That you love?
He wraps his arm around my midriff and shifts me to lie over him,
his breath hot and moist against my face, my heart racing when he answers.
I mean it.
Say it again when you're not drunk, please.
I'm not that out of it.
He eases out of bed and heads off to clean up, then comes back and slides into bed with me.
I'll say it again when we're both ready to deal with it.
What do you mean? He pulls me back to his side and looks down at me with eyes that I can easily get lost in.
Questions, questions, kitten.
He smiles at me, pecks my lips, then licks softly into them.
You'll see. If all goes well, you'll see very, very soon. Just don't quit on this opportunity. Promise me you won't.
I'm about to tell him I cannot promise this, but the look in his eyes gives me pause. He's never looked that determined before. I promise, but I don't want...
She won't be a part of it, he assures me.
Ian. We've been waiting for 23 minutes, and I'm clutching the pen like a man too eager to put his signature on something. Though the truth is, I signed the minute I arrived. Click, click, click. Matthias Wahlberg clears his throat, his eyes on my pen. I smile at him apologetically and place the pen back on the table. Across from us, Cordelia's lawyer, Aaron Goldberg, is seated, an odd-looking little man, but a good lawyer. I hope he knows there's no way out of this one except to get this over with. Is she always this late? Wahlberg asks me, tapping his watch and sighing. I shrug. There's no always or usual when it comes to Cordelia. I don't know why it bothers him. I'm paying him by the hour, unless he has reservations about today's proceedings. I trust we're all good for today, I ask him. This should be it, right? He hesitates and the lawyers exchange glances. Goldberg smooths down the sparse amount of hair on his otherwise bald head and readjusts the handkerchief in his jacket pocket. One can never be certain about these things, Matthias finally says, but we have a good feeling about today. Assuming she turns up, of course. Right. I lean back in my chair and take a deep breath. I need to relax. The door swings open loudly and the three of us glance at the doorway. Cordelia saunters into the office, taking her sweet time to close the door behind her. She's wearing an expensive-looking trouser suit, and I notice diamond earrings twinkling through her lavishly coiffed hair. She's always spent an obscene amount of money on her appearance, but I was always genuinely happy to give her everything she ever wanted. Her infidelity, however, is a flaw I refuse to overlook. She takes a seat at the table, offering no word of apology for being late. I'm tempted to say something, but I know better and keep my mouth shut. I can feel her looking at me, and I look back in silence. Oh, this is what it has come to, has it? She huffs. You can't even acknowledge me? I take a deep breath. I'm going to need all the self-control I can muster for this meeting. Thank you for finally joining us, Cordelia, I say. I give Wahlberg a look, and he slides the paperwork across the table toward her and Goldberg. Mrs. Ford, everything is as previously agreed, but please take your time to read over it again and then sign here. He indicates where to sign, and Cordelia purses her lips in anger. Mrs. Ford, she mutters bitterly as she peruses the papers in front of her. I suppose I'll have to get used to being called by my maiden name again soon. It's one of the conditions for granting you all of the assets that we are, Wahlberg responds indifferently, handing her a pen. Mr. Ford would like his name back. She takes the pen, frowning, the nib hovering inches from the page. She pauses and asks Goldberg if he's read it already. Goldberg nods at Cordelia, giving her the go-ahead. But she puts down the pen and sighs, wiping an imaginary tear from her cheek. She looks up at me, her long lashes fluttering and her bottom lip quivering. Once upon a time, I would have felt something, but her act no longer fools me. She reaches out her hand to touch mine, but I pull away before she can. Ian, she whispers, please. I know you don't really want this. We're good together. We can try again, It'll be different this time. It's too late, Cordelia. There's nothing you can say to change my mind. Maybe, she retorts, regarding me in speculation. But that doesn't mean I have to agree to the divorce. My gut tightens in frustration and we glare at each other over the table. I knew deep down that she was going to fight until the end, and I just hope that whatever Wahlberg has up his sleeve will finally convince her. I know why you want this so much, she continues, her eyes narrowed to slits of contempt. It's what your dumb little floozy wants, isn't it? At the mention of Sarah, I can't help but feel my patience slip. Leave her out of this, I warn. Wahlberg clears his throat loudly. Let's keep this civil, he says to both of us in his usual monotone voice. I'm breathing deeply through my nose, trying to control my rage. He turns to Cordelia. If you really want to take this to court, by all means we can, he says. However, I can assure you it will be to your detriment, financially speaking. Mr. Ford's offer is extremely generous given the circumstances, and we have solid proof of your affair. Proof? She snorts. Her haughty sneer makes me want to throttle her. Going through my credit card statements doesn't prove anything, and if Barry wants to testify, I have ways of discouraging him. She's drumming her long manicured talons on the table, looking smug, but I know her better than that, and I can tell she's nervous. Technically, it's not your credit card, is it? Wahlberg cuts in, matter-of-factly. But that's irrelevant at this point. She raises her eyebrow at me, and her voice softens. Ian, we could forget about all this silliness and go back to how we used to be. Summers in Europe, winters in the Caribbean. You can't deny what great times we had. I shake my head. I have no idea what to say. She doesn't get it. We're past the point of no return. There's no going back. Wahlberg retrieves a large brown envelope from his briefcase and hands it to her without a word. We watch her closely as she opens it. She pulls out the typewritten, signed note inside, then flicks through the pages, her eyes growing wide with horror. Barry provided us with tapes and images of their affair, and it's all in there. How did you... she starts, but her voice trails off, and I can't help but feel disgusted. I hadn't been keen on getting the written testimony from Barry, my accountant, but Wahlberg convinced me it was necessary. By the look on her face, he may have been right. She's glowering at my lawyer and at me, her face flushed with anger. He goes to take the envelope back from her, but she grabs it from him and starts ripping it to pieces in her fury. There's an additional note in the settlement, he tells her, pointing to a short paragraph at the bottom of the paperwork. All copies of Barry's testimony will be destroyed along with the video and photographs, as long as you sign. Was this your idea? She practically spits at me. I can't believe it's come to this, Ian. Really? Her eyes are pure thunder as she realizes her circumstances, and even I'm surprised at Wahlberg's rather bullish methods. But I'm beyond playing nice. I've tried that for the last year, and it hasn't gotten us anywhere. Cordelia glances at Goldberg, who pushes the pen back in her direction, knowing there's no way out of this. She picks up the pen. I can hardly breathe as, at last, I watch her sign the goddamn divorce papers with an angry squiggle that almost tears the pages. I wait for a final outburst from her, some spiteful insult or threat, but she composes herself remarkably quickly, dabbing at her damp cheeks with a tissue. Wahlberg takes out another set of papers. The paperwork for the purchase of the business, as discussed. You're really putting what you have left into this? Cordelia shoots me a shocked glance. It's only money. I started with less than what I have now. I'll make do. I'm jealous. I know, and I don't care. She signs those papers as well and picks up her handbag, stuffed with shreds of the torn papers and envelope, and storms out of the office, slamming the door as she leaves. Wahlberg looks at me, a satisfied smile on his face. Even Goldberg looks relieved. I shake Wahlberg's hand, thanking him, before I shake Goldberg's hand and part ways. And then I breathe. Long and deep, all the stress and anxiety and angst from the last year vanishing. I'm finally taking a good, clean breath again. Finally, free. I expected to feel weightless, like celebrating. And yes, there's relief, a shit ton of it. But a part of me mourns what went down in there. It mourns the girl my ex-wife used to be, the guy I used to be. Because the people who signed the marriage contract years ago were so damn different than the ones who are stepping out of this building. I tell myself, I'm not going to let myself grow apart from the woman I love again. I tell myself, I'm going to hang on tight to her and never let go. Because one thing I learned from my marriage is that, even though you think love is enough to feed on, enough to hold a marriage together, it's not. Communication, understanding, patience, loyalty. That's the stuff that makes it last. I regret that I didn't know this before I let my work consume me, and I let my wife's ambition consume her. As I flag down the first cab I see, I smell that familiar perfume once more and turn to face Cordelia. She waited for me. Fuck. It's typical that she can't resist a final word, but nothing she says makes any difference now. So, you're going to go and play house with your new little strumpet? She demands angrily. I might if you hadn't tainted the word house for me. Fuck you, Ian. Back at you, Cordelia. She doesn't know what she's getting into. You're emotionally unavailable, even to me, and I've known you for years. All you want is to work. Maybe, because I actually cared about your happiness and your safety, but that's long gone. I open the cab door for her and watch my ex-wife reluctantly board, shooting me a snotty glance that I can't care less about. Goodbye, Cordelia.
Broadway. Sarah. I'm dreading the appearance of the blonde bitch Ian married, but she's nowhere in sight as I change into my dancing shoes and stretch out next to my new colleagues on the stage. We're all waiting to be told what to do. Everyone is shuffling around, commenting on how excited they are to have landed their respective roles. The sound of doors shutting causes me to raise my eyes to the far end of the auditorium. A tall, dark-haired man in a business suit is walking down the auditorium room steps. My suit is here? I can't help but stand a little straighter in an effort to hide the way my heart just went crazy in my chest. Ian is here. On his way forward, the directors greet him. I arch my brows, confused. From the top, Ian calls as he glances up at us, taking a seat that one of the directors vacates for him. I blink and shoot him a "what are you doing" look, but run to take my place at the front of the dancers. We take it from the top and perform the variation we practiced during audition. When the music stops, Ian whispers to one of the directors. "Take five," that director calls. I climb down from the platform and approach while Ian comes to his feet in one fluid motion, the gleam of pride in his eyes making my thighs feel watery. "Why are they following your orders?" I whisper ask, coming to stand next to him. He casually tugs on my ponytail. "I had to make some arrangements to be sure Cordelia was out of the picture. For good. Out of my life and yours." What? I swallow, trying to register what he's saying. I'm about to ask him to clarify, because this cannot mean what I'm thinking it means. My delicious workaholic has enough work on his plate with his own documentary and film production company. He couldn't possibly have bought a Broadway one to boot. Could he have? I'm shocked. Shocked enough that my question comes out as a mere breath. What did your ex want in exchange for selling you her production company? "Not much," Ian says calmly, laughing silently at my complete astonishment. "She wanted me to let her keep my name." "You can't," I cry. He raises one brow, tugging my ponytail one more time before letting it fall behind me. I can't help my stupid reaction. I'm so completely taken by this guy, body, heart, soul, even my mind he hijacks all the time. It's inconvenient and impractical. But I'm in love, for the first time in my life,
I love everything about this guy, even his name. His name that I one day want to be mine. I mean, imagine if you ever married again, I try to explain to him. There can't be two Mrs. Fords, three, including your gran, walking around New York.
We can't have that, can we? He tisks softly.
A realization dawns on me. My new boss is... Ian? My yummy motherfucker?
You said, Dancer, that you wouldn't mind who your boss was, whether it was someone you hated or someone you cared for.
I dip my head forward slowly in agreement, realization that Ian did this for me nearly shattering my brain. I'm mind blown. I can't believe someone would do something so huge in order to help me achieve my dreams. Both of them. The one about having a shot on Broadway, and the one of having a relationship with my dirty workaholic. Thank you.
Thank you.
What for? I ask. Ian scrapes his chin as he thinks about it, tilting his head to one side as he regards me.
I suppose a girl I know would say it's for recovering my faith in the universe.
A girl you know. A smile begins tugging at the corners of my mouth.
The girl I'm deeply into.
My heart somersaults. How deep?
As deep as love goes.
He seizes my chin between his thumb and forefinger, tipping my face back.
The girl I'm in love with.
My toes curl in my dancing shoes as his burning eyes hold me. My hand curls over his as he continues holding me by the chin. She loves you, too.
She said as much before, but we were both not quite on all five, and I can't get enough of hearing it anyway.
His low voice rasps over my skin, and the slight twitch of his lips makes me breathless. I nod frantically up and down. She does, since she gave you her panties and a little wad in your pocket. She's so easy.
No, she's not.
His lips curve to shape an utterly sexy smile.
But she's mine.
I confirm his words with another jerky nod, and suddenly I can't breathe beneath the intensity in his eyes.
I'm free, Sarah.
You're free?
I'm free.
I exhale, my whole body shuddering happily. What's the first thing you're going to do now?
Take you out to dinner? Then take you home and keep you.
One second, he's a few feet away. The next, he's lifting my face, kissing me slow and so, so deep, like today is the end of the world. Or maybe the first day of a new one. Hands on my face, tongue invading, tasting. I'm a willing party to this celebration. I'm going to get you. I promise in his ear before I slap a kiss on him. Don't you worry about that. I smile as he sets me to my feet and I head back to the platform, watching Ian discuss the show with the directors before he goes to the door. He motions that he's leaving, and I blow him a kiss and get back to work. This is the opportunity of my life, and I've got one gorgeous suit to impress next time he stops by to watch me. Thinking way, way into your future, Ford? Kids. How many? I ask later that night as we discuss everything, from practice to the company to our possible future together. Thankfully, he doesn't seem to have trouble picturing such a distant future. Or maybe it's not that distant after all.
Two. A boy and a girl. He shoots me a look that asks, you?
Two as well. Two girls, I contradict, beaming. I'm so, so glad that he's free. You know, you're not really free, I murmur against his mouth, unable to stop kissing him. Because you're mine, Ford.
That's right, Dancer.
We're not in bed, because he got his piano in. We set it in the living room, and he played Hall of Fame for me. I listened, leaning over and watching his fingers. I smiled happily when he was done. Ian scooped me up
and shifted me onto the top of the piano, wedging himself between my thighs. I kissed him, and I'm still kissing him now.
Ian. I'm free. Free and in control of my life. Things with Sarah are good. Hell, better than good. I'm a different man. Her roommate is getting married, and I've convinced my kitten to move in with me. I've already given her the extra key. I'm moving fast, but I know what I want. I'm not going to start pussyfooting about it now. Now Sarah is accompanying her roommate to look at wedding dresses, and she asked me to pick her up outside the store where they'll be getting measurements. I take a cab to the corner, and as I step out and feel the ice-cold New York winter wind hit me, I push my hands into my pockets and start for the store. Feels like the world is right for a change. I'm fucking high from how good I feel when I spot my woman's dark hair as she embraces a blonde guy just at the corner of our meeting place. An icy claw rakes through my chest. Sarah looks up and spots me, and I don't break my stride, her smile swiftly morphing into a frown as she takes a look at me. Hey, I say, my eyes on the guy. Hey, Sarah says cautiously. I want to punch something. No, I want to punch him. This is Jensen. Jensen, this is Ian.
Ah, Jensen says. The boyfriend.
He smiles. And you are? I ask a little tightly. I'm her friend. Her gay friend. I wouldn't have offered that detail if you didn't look ready to pull my skin out with your teeth. I'd rather make it to my date tonight. Alive. Sorry. I'm instantly apologetic. He eyes me. You won't ever meet someone as loyal as Sarah. You think she just lets any guy in the way she's let you? He shakes his head. First time, man. I rake my hand across my jaw. Thanks. Thanks for telling me. Don't mention it. I'm glad you're together. She looks happy. I watch her. She's irritated as I head over, putting my hand on the small of her back, to lead her down the block to a restaurant where I made reservations for lunch. What was that? Hell, she's not just irritated. She's pissed. I'm sorry. I roll my eyes. What did you think, Ford? That I was out cheating because I can't get enough dick? She glares, pushing at me and making me laugh over how pissed she is. Seriously, even after the first time I met you, I couldn't bear for any other guy to touch me because it wasn't you. They paled in comparison to you. My smile fades, and I clench my jaw as I run my eyes over her features. I touch her, bringing her toward me by the shoulders even as she fights me a little. I haven't been with anyone since that night either, I promise. Her eyes glisten, and she finally, willingly lets me reel her back to me. So you care? You've cared since then? I cock one eyebrow. You thought I didn't? If you cared, you'd trust me. Jesus. She glares again, but there's a smile on her lips as she curls against my chest to shield herself from the cold. It's because I care that I'm paranoid as fuck. You think you're the only one who feels vulnerable? She seems surprised. I raise her hand to my lips and brush a kiss along her knuckles, giving them a little bite that I know she'll appreciate. I'll learn to trust. You'll teach me how to trust again. Talking about things helps, and not putting any walls between us. Ever. Letting our feelings free. I scoop her up by the ass, buzzing my nose over hers as I drop kisses on her sweet face, gruffly whispering, I love you. It seems impossible that as the days go by, I love you more and more. It's not impossible because I'm in the same boat. Same love boat. She rolls her eyes as I drop her back to her feet. Okay, bad joke. Saying the L word as frequently as I do to Sarah sometimes feels like a death sentence. But you'd never meet a happier dead man. That night I can't sleep. Sarah breathes evenly beside me, her body coated with sweat from the pounding I just gave her. Fuck, she makes the most delicious sounds as she sleeps. Sounds I feel jealous over, protective over, because they're sexual sounds. The little kitten is having a sex dream, and I want those sounds to come alive only for me. I rub my hand down her spine, pulling her closer. She stirs in my arms, a sultry smile on her face as we lock gazes. I run my eyes along her lips, drinking in the way she always wakes up and smiles at me when she finds me watching her. Why are you looking at me like that? Her voice is raw with sleep and definitely confused. I like the way you look, sweetheart. Can't I look at what's mine? I stroke my hands down to her butt. She nibbles her lip, looking like she might kiss me, her eyes gleaming in amusement. Are you thinking of sex, Ian? She taunts me in a roughened whisper, stroking her fingers along my arm. My body tightens. Hell, I'm at an odd, bewildered place where I'll do anything she tells me. Jump in exchange for more touching. Do anything for more of Sarah's loving. I groan. Yes. Then what are you waiting for? Her devilish eyes glitter. Maybe I'm waiting for someone to wake me up from this hell of a wet dream I've landed on. And if I'm not a dream? She taunts quietly. I drink in her pale neck, a simple gold necklace at her throat, her hair loose. Damn, I love it loose because I can grab it, smell it, wrap my fingers in it. She's breathing fast, looks wound up and ready to be loved, and a heat rises in me as if I were exclusively made to accommodate her. We share a look. Then I keep you, kitten. I bend down and grab her closer, squeezing her ass in my palms, our tongues twined. That's all I want. Everything. I catch and draw her to me, and when a gasp leaves her lips, I bend my head and take it. Take that gasp, that mouth, the moan that follows, the girl who's got me. That Saturday, it's Sarah's big opening night. I've got the roses, 20 dozen of them, already waiting back home. I brought a dozen more to the theater and sit in the center front row, watching her dance her heart out in front of a crowd of thousands. I couldn't be prouder of her. She nails it. Triple threat who can act, sing, and dance. Hell, in 2 hours she brings down the house. Gets a standing ovation. I'm the first one to stand, clapping like I've never clapped before. My chest swells. My dick jerks. My whole body involved with my goddamn heart. It's like a helium balloon in my chest. I'm so full I could pop. Up on the stage, Sarah strides forward, grabbing her team's hands as they bow, the whitest fucking most edible smile dancing on her lips. All those practices. Every excruciating effort. Even the days soaking her muscles in a cold bath. Every hurdle has been worth it. Every challenge has been conquered. Every test passed. I've seen the brightest and most talented stars on Broadway. I've even seen them in Hollywood. But nothing can hold a flame to Sarah, who burns more brightly than anything I've ever seen. When the curtains close for real now, I snatch the roses and a bottle of champagne and stride backstage. I know what to expect. Photo ops for the paper. Hell, I can already see the reviews she'll get. A new star is born on Broadway. Sarah's in her dressing room when I rap on the door and push it open. She swivels around in her chair and our eyes meet. She's on her feet as I cross the room and she throws herself into my arms. I set the flowers and champagne aside and pull her in tighter. I squeeze her, then toss her into the air, catching her by the waist only to plant a firm kiss on her mouth, both of us laughing. I'm proud of you, kitten. You slayed it tonight. I know, I know. God, did you hear the crowd? Baby, I was one of them. She squeaks and leaps up and down and then quickly wipes the corners of her eyes and wraps her arms around my waist, pressing herself closer. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Thank you, Ian. She grabs my face and presses her lips to mine, and they taste of her tears, and I can't get enough of her. I'll never get enough of her.
Hot workaholic. Sarah. It's 6 months later, and I'm getting the meal ready for dinner while Ian reads a script in the living room. We're having Bryn and Christos over. I've never really hosted a formal dinner, and I want to impress my man, our friends, and myself. Turning off the oven to make sure the brisket doesn't overcook, I peer into the living room. Ian's dark head is bent, and he's got this cute, really hot and thoughtful look on his face. A hand covers half of his jaw, his lips unsmiling as his gaze scans the page. I do a little pirouette in the living room, then leap into the air and land stealthily back on my feet, like a cat. Ian's gaze slowly rises to meet mine, and his lips begin to twitch.
Do that again. I missed it.
No, you didn't. I smirk and chasse forward, loving the way he looks at me, the way my suit makes me feel. You'd say anything to get me to dance for you.
That's right, he says, setting the script aside and sitting up on the couch.
I oblige and do a sexy turn and begin dancing for him, the most seductive dance I know. Every bone and muscle in my body hurts after dancing my ass off for the past 6 months straight, but nothing else matters except pleasing my man. It doesn't hurt that I love it when he watches me dance. It turns me on. What can I say? Come on, this guy lights me up so bad I sometimes can't sleep for fear of waking up and finding him gone. Okay, enough. I stop dancing, head over and pull him to his feet, pecking him on the lips because I just can't help myself. We have guests arriving soon. I'm doing my best to impress, but you still need to pick the wine. He squeezes my ass and plants a kiss on my temple as he heads to the small wine fridge he set up by the bar. I hear Ian rummaging through the bottles, taking out one, inspecting the year, before sliding it back in and taking out another. Getting busy, I plump up the pillows on the couch and straighten a photograph on a small side table. I drink in the image of us, our first photo together. It was a selfie, one we took randomly when we went out to dinner one night after I moved in, and it struck me that I didn't have a picture to put up in our new place, which we'd just finished furnishing. Insisting he come closer for a picture, Ian took a bite out of my earlobe as I snapped the image. My eyes widened, and my mouth parted as I faced the camera. I looked like I was shocked that he'd ever bite me. He's been the best partner I could have ever hoped for. He makes it a point to come home every day at 6 p.m. so that we can spend time together. We sometimes visit his gran or take a walk along the park. We sometimes hit up coffee shops, wine shops, or cafes, and have even found ourselves wandering down the bank of the Hudson, cuddling in the chilly air. He still loves to work, and I love his drive and determination. His ambition, too. So long as he makes an effort to be with me, I have no complaints. I know that relationships take effort. Ian Ford can be too much of a perfectionist, and a little too possessive sometimes. He's a territorial man. But still I love him. What can I say? This suit turned my world upside down. Sometimes I think I left my heart in his pocket on the same day I gave him my panties in a tight little wad. The sound of the doorbell pulls me out of my musings, and I jerk to attention when I realize Bryn and Christos have arrived.
I'll get it, Ian calmly says when he sees the look of panic on my face.
I rush back to the kitchen to be sure the rosemary potatoes are still in the hot drawer where I left them. Then I thrust my hand into a glove and pull out the brisket from the oven. Setting it on the stove, I hear Bryn and Christos's voices as they walk inside. I hurry around the kitchen, trying to make sure everything is perfect. Bryn and Christos are married now. His ex-girlfriend came clean about some secret dalliance she and his brother Cole had been having, and after a shotgun wedding that made the news all across Manhattan, she's given birth to his little baby boy. The two lovebirds just left for their honeymoon, and Christos and Bryn are taking care of the baby until they return. As I watch them come in with the baby in Bryn's arms, I can tell they're the happiest uncle and aunt there could be. Christos can't stop admiring both his wife and the baby, while Bryn coos at the handsome blonde-haired little boy, like she'd rather talk to the baby than anyone else in the room, even when she sounds half stupid as she does it. I step out of the kitchen and cross the living room to greet them.
Oh, Sarah, Becca asked me to give you this,
Bryn peers into her tote bag, and Christos murmurs to his wife, "I've got it," as he reaches in and pulls out a large paperback. "Is this her book?" I glance at the book that Christos hands over, and my heart swells in pride when I read Becca's initials and last name on the cover. "Here, hold him while I help Sarah," Bryn tells her husband. I carry Becca's book to the kitchen and set it aside while Bryn and I get everything ready to take out to the dining table. I can't help but suspect the obvious. This girl is dying for a baby, or the stork might already be on the way. "You're pregnant," I say with a smirk. "If not, you soon will be. Look at that." I nudge her to look at Christos with the baby in his arms. I laugh. "Poop and diapers. Look at you, Bryn Christos." "Don't laugh," Bryn warns. My smile fades when I see Christos hand the baby over to Ian. He's frowning, as if he doesn't know what to do with the creature. My heart melts, tumbles, burns. Ian looks up at me with an expression of confusion, as if he has no idea what he's doing holding a baby in his arms. Our gazes hold. My ovaries explode. Nothing new. My stomach clutches wantonly for my guy.
"Sarah," he says, sounding fierce.
I laugh and shake my head. "I've got my hands full of snacks. I won't rescue you from that baby, yummy."
"Sweetheart," he warns, "help, now."
I shake my head, smiling, but set the tray aside as Christos recovers the baby with a low, rumbly laugh. I walk over to Ian, who's looking down at his hands as if they're infected. "You look very handsome with a baby in your arms," I whisper.
"Don't get any ideas."
He drags a hand restlessly along the back of his neck, but he's smiling. And I know that one day soon, we'll get there, he and I. I'm getting quite a few ideas. I bite my lip saucily. He reaches out to grab the back of my skull and leans over.
"You drive me crazy."
"That's the point. My life mission." I drop a kiss on his addictive mouth and scoop up the baby from Christos. Now I feel Ian looking at me and Bryn waggling her brows telling me maybe we'll be pregnant together. I love testing Ford's limits.
"I know what ideas. I've got a few of my own," he murmurs huskily in my ear, leaning down to look at me with heavy-lidded, dark-lashed eyes, and the look he gives me as I hold the baby makes my toes curl, like they did after he watched me dance on opening night.
He's still watching me oddly when we sit down to have dinner. Bryn sets up the baby in a stroller, and the baby sort of dozes off to sleep while we talk about business, movies, Ian's next film, House of Sass, and my Broadway show.
"So does Ian go and watch you dance every night, or what?"
"Not every night," I say, tongue in cheek. Because to be honest, he's been there for almost everyone, missing only a few performances when work got in the way. I still remember opening night. Ian, along with the public, watched me dance my heart out. Ian received me at the end of the show with a townhome full of red roses. He kissed me and told me how proud he was of me. He still looks at me like that every night he watches me perform, as if it's the first time he's watched me dance. He looks at me like a guy in love. "I fucking love you, you fucking hot suit," I think as our eyes meet. Giving him a private smile and feeling flutters when he does the same, I carry the dessert plates to the kitchen and set them in the sink. I spot Becca's book and skim through the pages. It doesn't take me even a minute to realize she's writing something important, something personal about her trip to New York. Holy shit. Is she in love? Suddenly, I really want her to be. Suddenly, I really want whoever this lucky guy is to respond to her in kind. I've learned these past months that love can be lost at any moment, but it can also be found. It can change and grow and shine and hurt the way sometimes beauty hurts, but its mark is permanent. Its power, infinite. You just need to open up and let it out,
because when you open those doors, love can't help but come in.
Mogul was written by Katie Evans and read by Grace Grant and Sebastian York. Editing and post-production by Like 2,000 Pounds. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Also available from Simon & Schuster Audio, Racer by Katie Evans, read by Grace Grant and Sebastian York.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.